Now, bedbugs are one of a very small handful of species who demonstrate an unusual type of mating behaviour known as traumatic insemination. Now, this is where the male, rather than delivering sperm into a specially evolved organ, actually pierces the abdomen of the female and delivers the sperm directly into her abdominal cavity. To explain more about the biological adaptations that allow a female to survive this, we are joined by Dr. Richard Naylor, who works with the Bedbug Foundation. Richard, thank you for joining us. This doesn't sound like a very efficient or effective way of inseminating.
It's not at all efficient or effective for the female. Well, it's effective. They do have offspring as a result of it, but it's not the female that drive it.
What actually happens once the male has sort of punched his way through and delivered his sperm? Presumably there are specialised organs then within the cavity that take the sperm to the right place. He can't just make a hole wherever he wants it and the sperm just finds its way to an egg. Or can it?
Well, within the bedbugs, there's some level of adaptation that the females have shown. They don't just stab randomly anywhere in the body. They always stab in the same place. And because they are predictable where they stab the females have produced some sort of adaptation to being stabbed that helps them to stop losing hemolymph and helps to fight the infection that's associated with that. But once the sperm are in there, in that specially adapted region called the spermaliege, they do make their own way through the hemolymph by themselves, swimming to the sperm storage organs, the female sperm storage organs, from where they're used to fertilise eggs.
So from the male's perspective, he can just deliver his sperm as and where. If there are sperm storage organs, then that, like in many other insects, would imply that you can get multiple matings. Does this mean the female actually gets stabbed many times and then sort of selects out the sperm that she wants to use?
There's no evidence to show that the female can select which sperm she wants to use, but you're absolutely right. There are multiple matings upon multiple matings. The males, we know, mate tens and tens of times more frequently than females need to be mated in order to stay fully fertile. So we know that this is bad for females because the males are just mating far more than they need. A female bedbug needs to mate about once every 5 weeks, and it's likely to be kind of 5 or 10 times a day that the males will mate with the females if they get the chance.
How do the females actually survive this? It sounds, well, the clue is in the name, isn't it? It sounds traumatic.
It is traumatic, yes. Well, we know that they don't survive as well as they would if they were only receiving a mating every 5 weeks. We've done these experiments and we've shown that females pay a cost in terms of their longevity, their lifespan, of about 25% as a result of natural mating rates. So we know that this mating system is bad for females, but they don't have any control over it. It's a male-driven mating system, so the males impose the mating rate on the females.
I mentioned at the beginning that there are not very many species that actually undergo this sort, and I can see why. What is the sort of selective pressure that caused this to evolve? You would think, as it is so costly for the females, that it would very quickly adapt out.
Yeah, that's right. And if you imagine a biological system where males and females are working together to produce the most offspring between them, you would expect it to adapt out, as you say. But that's not what we think is happening. We think there's a conflict between males and females. And what's in it for the males is that it's always the last male that sires the most offspring. And so males are competing to be the last one, and that's what's driving this elevated mating rate.
Now, we also mentioned earlier that there is, of course, as with any injury, there's a risk of infection. What adaptations do the females have in order to be able to heal, to repair the wound, and to stop themselves just being taken over immediately by a bacterial or fungal infection?
There's a very similar system in the whole family, the Cymisidae, and they all show different levels of adaptation. But in the bedbug, the females have a little pocket which receives the sperm. This little pocket's called the spermaliege, and it's packed full of immune cells, something like our white blood cells. There's a very high concentration of them in this little area. It looks like a little patch of cotton wool. It's probably about the size of a large grain of brown sugar. This little area of immune cells does a very good job at mopping up all those bacteria and also stopping hemolymph leak back out through the wound that the males make.
Now, species like bedbugs have just what we call an innate immune system. So unlike our immune system, which can learn to recognise a threat and then adapt, and then the next time you get infected with the same bug, you're even better at fighting it off. With just the innate immune system that they have, presumably it must be really quite aggressive to just fight and kill off everything.
Yeah, we've always thought about insects as having very basic, simple, not very advanced immune systems. And to some extent, that's right. But it is a very effective immune system. It has several different components to it. One of the most important components is lysozyme. It releases lysozyme, and this chops up bacteria. It can detect bacteria being introduced and then elevate these various components of its immune system and just fire all these toxic chemicals at the bacteria and hopefully wipe them out. And it does, in the bedbug, it does a pretty good job in that immune organ.
So does that mean that there's something that we can learn from the bedbugs about potentially how to fight off infections or to make new antibiotics?
Antimicrobial peptides are one of the things that insects have that we've been exploring as a medication. What's interesting about insect immune systems is that the bacteria don't seem to evolve resistance to them. So we've all heard of the antibiotic resistance, which is kind of rendering all our antibiotics that we use in the medical profession useless because the bacteria are evolving to cope with them. And we don't see nearly as much resistance to antimicrobial peptides, which is one of these tools that the insects use. So yes, there are lots of people working on that very question. Can we learn from insects to help ourselves?
Well, thank you very much, Rich. That's Dr. Richard Naylor, who works with the Bedbug Foundation, and he'll be with us for the rest of the show. So if you have any questions, then do get in touch.